Ephesians chapter 6. Now, what I want you to get today, and what we're going to spend a couple, 3 weeks in or maybe, is this. The battle is in your head. It's a battle for the mind. Spiritual warfare is really a battle for the mind. And this is a fact that we got to come to grips with. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the phrase there, renewing your mind. There's a guy on the radio, and the title of his program is Renewing Your Mind, because he majors on that. Now, we got to renew our mind, because that's where the battle is. Let me begin with a few statements. First of all, sin begins almost always as a thought, right here. You begin to think about it. It's a suggestion or an idea, a tempting possibility maybe, whatever it takes, but Satan wants to bring some plan to your mind to get you and me to act upon it. Maybe get us, if he can, to make a bad decision. Get us to follow after our flesh, not after the Spirit. So that's what he wants us to do. The second thing I want to mention is this. We've got to fortify our minds for effective spiritual warfare. That really is the final step in the process that we discuss when we say take back ground that we've yielded to Satan and begin clearing that ground of the strongholds that he has built and staying free. Once we have moved from spiritual defeat to spiritual victory, you know what the goal is? The goal is to walk in victory every day, and day by day. And we can only do that as we replace Satan's strongholds of lies with towers of truth, which we've talked about, so we can flee to that tower of truth every time the devil attacks. Daily victory is found when we build towers of truth and we are committed to that truth. Now, once I've taken back ground that I've surrendered to the enemy and I've destroyed his strongholds, I want to keep him from stealing any of that ground back the next time he comes around, because he leaves for a season, but he's coming back. So I want to stay free, and that's why our minds are so crucial. When I find freedom, I want to stay free. Now, our mind is under attack. Now, because they are crucial for us to understand, I don't think it will hurt if we repeat a couple of things. Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are to what? Renew our minds. We have to do that. Let's get a biblical battle plan so we can see what it means to renew your mind. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. Now, how you can take control of your thoughts and how you can set your mind on pure and lovely and good and virtue and all those things in Philippians 1:8, on those thoughts that please God according to his word. Now I want you to go someplace else, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Here the Bible says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. You see this? The battle is in the mind. It's a figure of speech that pictures a person in the ancient world tucking the ends of his garment into his waistband so he will be free for action. Notice what he said, gird up the loins of your mind. Like pulling up. You know what you'd say today? Roll up your sleeves and get to work. Now, that's a picture of what God wants us to do with our minds. Remember, thoughts come from three sources: ourselves, God, Satan. And woe be to the one who is unable to tell the difference. Now here's Satan's great scheme. Plant an intruding thought into your mind. Make us think that there are thoughts, and then accuse us, because he's the accuser of the brethren, then accuse us for having those thoughts. Now, if you keep in mind Romans 12:2, and also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we've read this several times as well, verses 3 through 5, it says this: For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the scriptures tell us that there is a false belief system out there that seeks to capture us and squeeze us into its mold. A system by all the influences around and within us that the Bible calls the world. When it mentions the world, it's the system of the world. And then we have the flesh. Now, what influences that? Education, media, peers, family, all those things. Now, we need a belief system that is based on truth. If our character is going to be acceptable to God, it's got to be based on truth. Now, why? You draw on your belief system every day to make decisions that lead you to actions. And if we think like God, we'll make godly decisions. But there has to be an authority in my life and in your life. In fact, there is an authority in my life and in your life. There's authority in everybody's life. If your authority is you, which is true with a lot of people, the only opinion they care about is their own opinion, you're going to end up making bad choices and bad decisions in life. Because I don't mean to break your bubble, but you are not the final authority. And you are not the final source of authority. Now think with me for a minute. I say same-sex marriage is wrong. I am dogmatically 100% convinced that same-sex marriage is an abomination against God. Now, why do I say that? Because the Bible says it. Is that my opinion? No, that's God's opinion. Now, I believe abortion is an abomination. That's God's opinion. That's not my opinion. You don't care about my opinion. You care about, I hope, you care about God's opinion. When we renew our mind, here's what we're doing. This is all we're doing. Ready? We're getting God's opinion. That's really all it is. We want God's opinion on certain things. When I go to work, how does God want me to act at work? I just look at the Bible and figure out what God wants me to do at work. That's his opinion. That's not my opinion. I know it says in Ephesians, I'm supposed to submit to my master. So that's what I do. Now, what kind of decisions and actions come from a badly flawed belief system? Here is why I knew I have to get, I was trying not to chase this rabbit, but I got it just a little. Here is what's wrong with all the liberal politicians. They have a very flawed belief system. It's flawed. You know why? They have no fear of God and they don't believe the Bible. So they can't make a good decision. It doesn't surprise me that Chuck Schumer's wrong 100% of the time, or Nancy Pelosi's wrong 100% of the time. When I first thought of that, I thought to myself, it doesn't seem possible you can be wrong 100% of the time. But I really think they're wrong 100% of the time. Gillibrand is another one. How did we end up with two in our state at the same time? Isn't that all? We're pathetic. But anyway, they have a flawed belief system. Their philosophy is flawed because they don't believe the Bible. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7, I think it is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if your belief system is based on your opinions, it's going to be flawed. If your beliefs, by the way, that's true for me also. I mentioned abortion a little while ago. Let me back up and say something. Before I was a Christian, I never saw anything wrong with abortion. Everybody was having an abortion. I was raised Catholic. The Catholic Church says a lot, but they don't seem to take a strong stand against it. So I just said, well, everybody's doing it. I guess it must be okay. Government made it legal. Then when I became a Christian and started reading my Bible and said, whoa, life is precious. It's a gift from God. I got to tell you this. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they had a lady on there who was pro-abortion. I mean, big time. They don't call it pro-abortion. They call it pro-choice. It politically sounds better. And they had another lady that was questioning her on some stuff. And and it was on this abortion deal. And so the girl that was asking questions says, do you have children? She says, oh, yeah, I have three. I have a set of twins and a son. She says, so do you believe that your children were not life until they were born? She never would answer that question. She avoided it like the plague. She says, well, I believe a woman has a right to choose. And she goes, ma'am, this is a, three times this happened. This is a yes or no question. Your children, were they life before they were born? And she never answered. This is a yes. And when I was cracking up. I loved it. But here's the thing. She got backed into a corner. If she said, well, yeah, my children were life before they were born, then how can you be pro-choice? She couldn't answer that. And if she would have said, no, they're not, now she's talking negatively about her own children, and she didn't want to do that either. So she just did what all good politicians do. They didn't answer the question. They skirted around it. And that's exactly what she did. But what changed my mind? Before I was saved, I didn't think it was bad. I'll tell you what changed my mind. The Word of God. So we're talking about renewing our minds through the Word of God, having God's thoughts, learning to think like God, God-honoring thoughts. That's why it's crucial for us to spend time in God's Word. There are two actions that you take in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. You notice the strong context of warfare. The battle is real. You notice that the battleground is the mind. And in two important actions here that are absolutely vital to carry out if we are to win the battle for our minds is this. We've got to yield our minds to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. I did that once, Pastor. I think you should do it every day. Amen. Yield your mind to God. God, I want your thoughts. I want to think like you. And I just finished reading through the Old Testament again, and now I'm going to start the New Testament again this week. And you just keep reading it and reading it. It's amazing to me. Either I'm not a good reader or I forget a lot. One or the other was like, huh, how did I not see that there before the last time I read through this? But I read it all the time. We yield our minds to God all the time so we get God's thoughts. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells us so he can empower us for obedience. So it follows that our minds must be placed under his control. You know what the alternative to a spirit-controlled mind is? A carnal, fleshly-controlled mind. Now, you take your choice, which one you want. And like all other parts of the body, you're to yield your mind to God. So that's action one there, yield our minds to the control of the Spirit. Action two is this, accept God's word as our final authority. Now, that has fallen under attack today, that you say, this is the final authority. This is all I care about. This is the opinion that I care about. Talking to a gentleman the other day. Well, we were talking about the homosexual agenda. And he was the guy that several years ago, I said, boy, this is going to become law one of these days. No, that'll never happen. I said, I'm telling you, they keep fighting like this, and finally they're going to win. No. Well, it happened. I saw him the other day. We got talking about it. He said, well, I guess people can do whatever they want to do anyway. But no, you can't do whatever you want to do anyway. So you have really got to accept God's word as your final authority. And if you don't do that, you'll have a fleshly carnal mind. Now here's what happened. A Christian lady, I got it written down here. A Christian lady said this. She's a so-called Christian lady. Now she leans toward the charismatic side of things. Well, that's too weak. She doesn't lean towards charismatic. She's a full-fledged charismatic, okay? So she said this. You resort to Greek and fancy words to explain what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church today. Let me give you a piece of advice that might just save you from the wrath of Almighty God. She said, put away your Bible and your books. That's what a so-called Christian woman said. Put away your Bible and your books and stop studying. Doesn't the Bible say study to show thyself approved unto God? So like you know that's wrong because you know what God thinks about that. Now let me say something to her comment. You better not. You better accept it as God's final authority. That's important because strongholds in our minds are reinforced by feelings. There's another source of authority I probably ought to mention. Experience. Well, this happened to me, therefore, experience is not the final authority. I mentioned this, I think, last week. I started to watch a movie the other day, and it was based on a young boy's experience. But you know what it did? It contradicted the Bible. So you know what I did with the movie? Exactly. I shut it off. If it contradicts the Bible, it's wrong 100% of the time, even if you've had an experience. So let me say this and I go on. Experience. Did you know the devil can change himself into an angel of light? So some of the things that people call God and godly may actually be satanic and demonic. Very dangerous. It better, your experience, if it doesn't match the Bible, but that's where they were. There used to be an old song years ago. I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. The children of Israel used it too. The Ten Commandments were the road signs, and God was there to see them through. Anybody ever hear that song? Yeah, Amber, you probably heard it from me. That's right. They did, and before them, the old Marshall family used to sing. That's where I heard it from. That was like 30 years ago. And they would sing that song. Well, the Bible's like a roadmap. And you have to believe your roadmap. Even when you don't feel like it. And even when you think, I don't know about this. I got lost one day when I was hunting. I've actually been lost a few times hunting. But this one day, it was fresh snow, and I was in a patch of woods that I knew well. And when you get snow on a tree, it's a branch, it's this big. But when it snows on it, it's this big. And so everything looks different, and you can't see. So I'm walking along, and I was looking to go over a ridge. I said, funny, I haven't come to that ridge yet. Man, I've been walking a long time. And the next thing I knew, I came across, and this is fresh snow like that morning, I came across a set of footprints in the snow. I said, somebody else is out here. And I took my footprint, and I went next to that footprint, and I stepped back. I said, that's me. That's my footprint. I walked right in a circle. You'll walk in a circle, you know that, if you're not paying attention. You'll naturally, one foot will go a little further than the other one until you walk in a circle. So I pulled out my compass. And I first thought, I said, this compass don't know what it's talking about. It's not south. I had to go south. That can't possibly be south. So I thought to myself, and I said to myself, self, I'm going to follow this compass. I'm going to follow this compass for 5 minutes, maybe 10. If I don't get to that ridge within 10 minutes, it's not that far, then I know this compass don't know what it's talking about. Well, I walked about 5 minutes, and guess what happened? I came up to the ridge. I said, And my brother John, Amber's dad, was west, so I had to just, he was about a mile and a half. And I said, I'll come through the woods about a mile and a half, and then I'll run into him. Well, sure enough, I turned and went west, and guess what? I ran into him about a mile and a half later. The compass was right. The Bible is always right. Even when you don't feel like it, and even when your experience might be somewhat odd to it, you know what? You got to trust the Bible. You got to trust your roadmap. And you got to. What I decide will ultimately affect my life. Now, this will let me know what really is my final authority. And that will direct my mind. So it can't be feeling. Can't be experience. It can't be your opinion. It's got to be God's. So it kind of comes down to this. Is God worthy of my trust, and is His word really the final authority in my life? That's the bottom line. When we trust him and when we believe his word, strongholds can be taken down. And not only are there two actions there, submit your mind to God as his final word and authority, there are also two battles to fight. Verse 4 said, pulling down strongholds, a series of lies that you have embraced. You got to tear them down. And in verse 5 there, it says you've got to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So here's the picture. We liberate our thoughts from Satan's control and put them under the control of the Lord. But as sinful people, our thoughts still need to be brought into captivity in obedience. Don't raise your hand. Have you had a bad thought, a wrong thought, a negative thought in the past month? That probably cover everybody. How about the past week? Did anybody get through the whole week without having a bad thought? I think we could probably go that long, maybe once in a while. I don't know that we do, but we probably could. But you're never going to be sinlessly perfect, not on this side of heaven, not on this side of eternity. Not happening. So, being sinful people, our thoughts need to be brought into captivity. So here's the goal. Submit our minds to the right commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's what we got to do, and not to the devil. Now let me quickly give you a daily discipline for mind renewal. Steps that might help take charge of your thinking and bring mind control of the Holy Spirit of God into our lives. Number one, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, test the thoughts. Try the spirits, it says, whether they be of God. Determine their origin. Now, sources of some thoughts are easily detectable. As after you have this, and it goes on for a while, then you calm down or whatever. It's evil, and it's wicked, and it's wrong. That doesn't come from God. God never tempts anybody to do evil or wicked or wrong. So that doesn't come from God. You might not need to test every thought. I think I'll stop. Should I stop and get gas? Well, maybe you should. I don't know. Look at the gas gauge, okay? Yeah, that's not one you got to worry about. Maybe not every single thought. Mrs. Glazier's not in here. She likes to run out of gas. I don't know what it is about her. The boys had to push her car back into the parking lot a couple Sunday nights ago. And remember that, Gina? Were you still here? Yeah. That's just something that Mrs. Glazier does. I pick on her from that once in a while. I think she ought to start carrying a gas can with her. But anyway, what's funny, she got Mike a gas can one day for his birthday or Christmas, and she's the one that needs the gas can. Anyhow, maybe not every thought, but the ones that get in our conscience thinking and have some kind of effect on your actions and your attitudes. So if it's a thought that's going to have some kind of an effect on my action or on my attitude, now I need to test it. I don't need to test every thought. You know, I'm going to go home today and say, I wonder if I should tape the race or not. Anyway, I'm going to tape the race. Okay. I'm not going to test that thought or try that thought. But the ones that are going to affect my actions and my attitudes, I'm going to test. God's word gives us the standard by which to test everything. You test it by God's word. You don't fall into the trap of believing that God is just open-minded about everything. The first piece of armor in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe, is having your loins girt about with what? Truth. There is a truth. Truth has fallen on hard times. It's got to be based on truth. Now, can I say this about preachers? I'm one of them, so I can talk about us. Sometimes we use stories. Some preachers use a lot more stories and illustrations than I do, and some of them use very emotional stories and illustrations, especially at the end of a sermon. Stories play on emotions. If a preacher's always telling stories that play on your emotions, you know, he can manipulate you. So you have to forget the story sometimes. And I used one earlier today about the compass that was right and I was wrong, okay? But it has to be based on, you always got to go back to truth. Always. It's got to be based on truth. Try the spirits. Number two, refuse wrong thoughts. Where did that thought come from? Now, you have power in Christ to do that. To some people, that's a revelation. It's like, well, I can't control what I think. Actually, you can. There is a difference in a wrong thought, which Satan can do, and forcing us to think about them and mull them over and over and over. When that thought comes into your mind, you can say, no, no. Wait a minute. That's not true. That's a lie. I refuse that thought. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we looked at last week. Lust has to conceive to bring forth sin. That thought's going to come into your mind, and if you dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it, then it'll, when lust is, you know, then it can, once it conceives, it'll bring forth sin. It's not sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's not a sin to have a bad thought pop into your mind. It becomes sin when you begin to dwell on it and then when you act upon it. Refuse wrong thoughts. Just don't dwell on them. Thirdly, this is a little repetition from last week, resist the devil. So let's say you tried this thought and you say, well, that's from the devil. Then you say no. Remember, I think it was the DARE program. Is that still around in schools, the DARE program? But anyway, you dare to say no. You just say no. Refuse it. Fourthly, share your thought with the Lord immediately. Lord, I just had this thought. The memories of past sins and failures, you know what Satan does? Satan uses those against us. I don't know that I've mentioned this in this series, but there's one other thing Satan is. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he will accuse you and accuse you and accuse you. He gives you that accusing thought. And you know what you need to do with it? You need to take that thought to Christ and thank him that he died to cleanse you from whatever it was that Satan's throwing at you. Lord, thank you that you delivered me from that. Thank you that you saved me from that. Share the thought with the Lord. Fifthly, memorize God's word. I know we keep coming back with replacing wrong thoughts with right ones, and the only infallible place for right thoughts is God's word. There is no other place. You need to get as much preaching as you can get. You need to be in Sunday school. You are. You need to be under the ministry of the Word of God. You need to read your Bible and read your Bible. You need to saturate your mind with Scripture. And if you can't memorize word for word, because someone's going to say that, you can memorize the principles and you can get the gist of the verses. You might not get them word perfect, but you know what it says. And a lot of you can get them word perfect. The kids can get them all word perfect. It's disgusting how those kids can do that. You know that? But anyway, you can get all the principles. You got to saturate your mind with Scripture. So when you hear something, it kind of like gets to be where, that's wrong. I can't snap my fingers. Never could. That's wrong. That's not from God. That's not truth. You should be able to know that immediately. You ever get talking to somebody and you're sitting there looking at them like, you don't know what you're talking about. But you don't say it because you don't want an argument. You've all done it. If you know your Bible at all, you've done that. I've done that. Sometimes you say it and you do get to engage in an argument. But you begin to think like God. And you give the Spirit a tremendous arsenal of truth to draw upon and bring to your mind when you are in time of need. The Spirit of God, boom, brings a verse or a principle, a biblical truth to your mind. And you defeat the enemy. Sixthly, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. I think people forget that. And then I'd like you to lastly, I'm going to get done early today. I should have brought another lesson with me, but I didn't. Turn to Psalm 1. Now, this particular psalm, I might be wrong. Is this the first one we memorize in RU? No, Isaiah 57 is the first verse, but this is the first passage, right? The whole psalm. And everybody gets it. It's amazing how that is. Everybody can do it. But it says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of sinners, nor sitteth in the way of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You're going to meditate, meditate on the Word of God. Meditate. When you do your quiet time, you should read the Bible, and then there should be something that you should be able to draw from your Bible time, and then throughout the day, you should think about that particular truth that you've meditated on that day. You just meditate on it. Now, it literally means to bend over to see it a little bit better. I've heard preachers say, it's like a cow chewing its cud. You know, cow's kind of a gross animal. They regurgitate their cud up, and then they chew it again, and they, you know, how that works. But you get, they're trying to get all the goodness out of it they can. When you meditate on Scripture, you're trying to get all the goodness out of it you can. So meditate on it. And then it says in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Look at, I think it's Joshua, chapter 1. Verse 8. There's a verse in Deuteronomy, just like this particular verse. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You got to meditate on the Word of God, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, because you've got to do what's written in it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. If you want to be prosperous and successful, follow God's Word. And by the way, what God says is success and what man says is success are two different things. You say, what's success to the Christian? It's finding the will of God and obeying it. That's all it is. To the world, it's like going up the ladder and making lots of money. That's not necessarily success. Success is finding the will of God and obey it. Now, let me ask you this. You got to think about this. Is your mind submitted to God? Have you given your mind to the Lord? How are your thoughts? Is God's word the final authority? Do you know when we disciple new converts, you know the first lesson we teach them is on the Bible. And you know what the very first truth we want them to grasp is this. The Bible is my authority. That's number one. It's got to stay number one. You got to make the Bible the final authority in your life. Now, if you've never done that, you need to do that beginning today. And you can't base, or I guess if God's word supposed to be the final authority, I suppose you got to ask yourself, do you base your decisions on your feelings, your experiences, maybe your friends? How about yourself? Well, my opinion is, what's God's opinion? So when I talk about mind renewal, I'm talking about getting my opinion to match God's, because God's is never wrong. The only ones in this problem is me. If my opinion doesn't match God, I'm the problem, not God. And that's always true. Much as I hate to admit that. Okay, at times I can be wrong. Once I thought I was wrong and I was mistaken. But anyway, that's another thing. All right, let's pray. Let's dedicate our minds to the Lord. Let's practice mind renewal. Let's think like God. And let me challenge you to spend time saturating your mind with the Word of God. Father, it is good to be with your people again today. Lord, I pray you bless them. And I pray, Lord, that they'll really make your word their final authority. They'll learn how to get their thinking lined up with your thinking. That they will, Father, learn your thoughts, your precepts, your principles. They'll learn to meditate on the good things and think the good thoughts. And they will have their loins girt about with truth. Not truth what man says it is, but truth that you say that it is. And this is your will for our lives, that we would tear down strongholds, that we would build towers of truth, and they would learn to think like you. Lord, I pray you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you get a little bit of a